I want to share with us briefly about the things that are freely given to us. Thank you. The things that are freely given to us, that we are freely, really given to us. The things that were freely given to us. What did I say I'm talking about? Freely given to us. I want you to say it. What did I say? Freely given to us. 1 Corinthians 2:12. And we have received God's Spirit. We have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. When we tell you these things, like we are going to say this morning, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak what's given to us by the Spirit. So we're going to read from the Bible, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. So what Jesus gave us are spiritual things, explained by spiritual truth. They are not physical things. The New Testament is a spiritual revelation. The Old Testament was a physical revelation. The New Testament refers to spiritual truth. Everything that God gave us was a spiritual thing, but it's real and exists. That's why faith is a substance of things not seen. And I want you to listen to me. I told the women these things, and the Lord said to me, why don't you tell your church exactly what you told them? I want to tell you the same thing this morning. If you are a Christian, listen to me. Don't waste your time with religion. It won't pay you any dividend. Religion has never paid dividend. Will never. Doesn't work. It's a waste of time. I'm begging you as a Christian, please listen to me. Go and familiarize yourself with everything that Jesus died to provide you. Stop religious stuff. Go and get to know them. If the Spirit was given to show you these things that were freely given to you and me, we can only help ourselves if we know them, if we are familiar with them, if we understand them. If we begin to know that these are the things given to us and we receive them by faith, if you are not teaching you that, carry your Bible and go to the Holy Spirit and say, you came to show me things that are freely given to me. I want to know them. I want to understand them. Because they were given to me. And you need to know them because those are the things you live by. Outside of those things that God gave us through Christ, you have nothing else to live this Christian life with. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Zip. Nothing. Those are the things that the Bible says that God has given us, all things that pertain to life and what? Those are the things now that he gave us. Those are the things. Now, is there any other one? Those are the things. So that if we want to live a godly life, if you want to live the life of Christ on earth, those are the things that God gave you so that you can live a godly life and live the life of Christ here on earth. If you don't know them, I'm so sorry. You'll be a religious human being. You'll be stressing yourself, trying to create what you cannot create. Try to manufacture, and you convince yourself you are just so good. Jesus came and said, I'm preaching to the poor, you have nothing. I came to preach to the poor, you have nothing. I don't know how we can live our lives neglecting the things that God gave us. I just don't understand. Let's read that scripture again. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. And we have received God's Spirit. Not the world's Spirit. See what reason we received it? So we can know. It's not so we play church, come here on Sundays and go home. It's a purpose to get us to know something. so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. You don't pay for it. You don't fast for them. Don't kill yourself for them. They have been given freely. Freely given. Even Jesus said to us, say, freely you have what? Received. Freely given to us. And then, starting. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Because human beings cannot explain this. It doesn't come from human articulation. It came from heaven. It came from the mind of God. These are the plans that God has made before the creation of the earth. It's not a human. There's no human being that can think. He said the things that God has prepared for us doesn't even come from the heart of man. It's beyond human articulation what God did in Christ. Complete. Even the angels were looking at it. The Bible calls it the wisdom of God, the power of God on display. So when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. You go to the Bible. You go to the Bible. You go to the Bible the Holy Spirit gave us. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. Like I said, being born again, the new man, you can't see him, but it's a real truth. The scripture talks about God with love, having not seen him. Everything about God is unseen because God is a spirit. But what it does manifest in the real life when we believe them and receive them. So every Christian owes it to himself or herself. Carry your Bible. Get on your knees and say, Lord, all these things I must. You know, sometimes we think we know. Sometimes we assume we know. Maybe we've been Christians for a long time. Doesn't give me a break. I've been around. The sign of spiritual growth and maturity is not how long you've been in church. It's not even that you're a senior pastor. It's when you talk, do you talk the word? When you talk, what do you talk? Do you order your speech aright? Because what reflects the spirit that controls you is your word. When you speak, do you speak as the oracle of God? Do you speak things that are of the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit? Because if your word is controlled by the Holy Spirit, then your whole body is controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of James said. He said, if you can't control your tongue, then you can't control your passions, you can't control your emotion, you can't control your body, you can't control nothing. It's in the Bible. And he said, if you can't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. So when you talk about these things that is, then you are speaking by the Spirit of the Spirit of God. You know how to talk when temptations show up. You know what to talk when you know what to talk when you pray. You know what to talk when you talk. When you talk, you are an inspiration because the Holy Spirit is the source of your words. You speak things that come from heaven. The Bible talked about Jesus. He said there was no guile in his mouth. He never spoke anything except what the Father inspired. He said, the words I speak are not even mine. That's how you know a spiritual Christian and a mature Christian. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Why did God give us these gifts? Because we're children of the kingdom. Because we are children of the kingdom. Members of the same family of God in heaven and on earth. God doesn't have two families. God has only one family. And when the world, but we are not of this world. So, listen to me. We are supposed to live the heaven's life here on earth. You can't be a hermaphrodite. You belong to the family of God in heaven and earth, and you live in a different family. We are supposed to live the heaven's life, the spirit life here on earth. The same family. God has no favorite. The same family. Jesus said that will be done on earth as what? So we are supposed to live the same life that we, the same life in heaven, we're supposed to live it right here. Right here. That's what Jesus did. He lived a spirit life. That was why his word was not sourced from the earth. His word was sourced from the family, from the kingdom, from God. That's why the Bible says we don't belong to this world now. We belong to a different kingdom. So we're supposed to live the life of heaven where? On earth. It's called the spirit life, not the flesh life. That's why the Bible talks about testing the powers of life to come. We test it here. We manifest it here. We live the same power, authority, everything here on earth. That's why God gave us all those things to equip us to be able to live that life here on earth. And so, by living that life, we become a reflection of Jesus. Jesus lived here. The Bible described him as a reflection of God. We read it, we say, wow. Jesus is a reflection of God. For the fullness of God was in him. But you forget that the fullness of Christ is also what? In you. So that you can be a reflection of who? Of Christ. Living the life of heaven, where? On earth. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. That's why they looked at followers of Jesus, they say these are Christians. They look like him. And that is the life that is called peculiar. Peculiar. You know what peculiar is? Huh? Huh? What is peculiar? Huh? Peculiar is something that's not typical, out of normal. Actually, weird. Weird? Weird? Weird. What is weird? Unusual. Peculiar is something unusual. Something not the same with normal. It's not at this. What is atypical? Atypical is something typical, right? The peculiar is something not normal. Eh? Which my accent is bad, right? atypical, right? Atypical, yeah. Eh? Atypical. So what does atypical mean? Not normal. Peculiar means you are not normal. Why? You live a spirit life. That's what it means. Peculiar people. Means people who are not normal. I'm going to see your English report. See your grade. Peculiar means not normal. Not conforming to the typical. And the Bible says you are peculiar people. Because you're living a life of heaven here on earth. Peculiar people. Totally. We don't talk like the world. We don't behave like them. We don't believe like them. Where they say there's a casting down, we come in and say, no, there's a cast. We totally speak different. Because we are of a different family. When Sister Ngozi came out, they said, how did you come out here? They forgot something. She's not living the typical life. That was a peculiar situation by a peculiar person, done by a peculiar God. Can I hear amen? Amen. By a peculiar God. You are not supposed to have the same grades with your classmates. My mentor, finished them in school. He said, I never had the same grades with them. Never. Didn't you read about who was that they took to Babylon? And he said, I don't want to eat your food. He was how many times better than others. How many? I can't hear you. That's called peculiar. Why? It was powered by God. You can't be powered by God and be normal. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. So we're supposed to live a peculiar life to bring glory to God. Can you tell somebody and say, you are peculiar? Now, you don't live this peculiar life with resources from... You're just excited. You don't live it with resources from the normal world. If you depend on resources from the normal world, you will live a normal life. That's why the Bible says there are things that God has freely given to you from heaven so you can live a peculiar life different from this world. When we say we are not of this world, we switch to religion. Say, yeah, I see, we are not of this world. It doesn't belong to this world. And we go to behavioral patterns. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. It's the totality of your being and the totality of your expression. It's not just behavioral. It's the totality of your being and the totality of your expression, totality in your business, the totality of your excellence, the totality of your performance, the totality of your success, a totality of glory that's unusual. You be in a meeting, they say, wow, this guy is totally different. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So the first thing that God gave us is freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. I didn't hear you. Freedom. Because if you are not free, you'll be bound by the same demon that bounds the people of this world. The Bible says there is a spirit that walketh in children of disobedience. If you are not free from that spirit, you will not be peculiar. You can't live the life of heaven because in heaven there is no bondage. That will be done on earth as what? Is there bondage in heaven? But you want to live that life of heaven on earth. So you have to be free like they are free. You have to be free like they are free. And you can't set yourself free. So God sent a deliverer. So the first thing that he did was to set us free. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there is a liberty. Somebody shout hallelujah. Think of it. In heaven, there's freedom. And you are in the same family. One family. Then if you're in that one family, then you too ought to be what? Free. It's not the question Jesus asked. He said, this woman that is bunched over, he said, isn't she a daughter of what? Amen. Ought she not to be free? Because in this covenant with God, she's supposed to test the goodness of God. Ought she not to be free? That's the question she had. Ought she not to be free? So now you are in the kingdom of God. Now you are a child of God. Now you are not of this world. Ought you not to be free from everything that bounds them in this world, where the devil is the god of their world? And he's a taskmaster. Ought you not to be free of bondages? It's a question you should ask yourself. If you are not free, it's because you are not accepting the freedom he provided. You think freedom means only when you fall down. Give me a break. The moment you came to Christ, the Son of God set you free. You don't have to feel nothing. It's a spiritual truth. It's not discerned by feelings, not discerned by wisdom of men. It is a spiritual truth. Freedom. I'm free. You are free. You are free. You are free. You are free. Who else is free? If you are free, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The things that have been freely given to you, number one, is freedom. You belong the peculiar nation. The will of God done on earth as we are in heaven. You can't find any bondage in heaven. And for you to live that peculiar life, freedom is number one. Because in the world, they are bound. They are under oppression. It's a kind of Egypt. They have a Pharaoh called the devil. And the Bible calls him the god of their world. And he's a wicked spirit. The Bible says we used to be under that kind of influence. We were being influenced by the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves. That's not in heaven the way it is. And so now, being peculiar, you are different because in the world, they're all bound. That's what I was telling my sister. I said, listen, she see all those doctors. I said, I'm telling the truth. I said, the devil is confusing them. I said, don't worry about what they say. They are paid to be doctors. Let them be doctors there. I said, we have only one doctor. He has told us what he does. I'm the Lord that he laid the case closed. I say, it surprises you to know that the devil is the one confusing them to make you afraid. And it's the devil talking through them to tell you you are finished. You are not finished. It's a lie. It's a total lie. So freedom is number one thing that he gave us. And Jesus said to us, if the Son shall set you free, then you are half free. You are three quarter free. You are free what? What does free indeed mean? Completely free. Well, when we were in Lagos, they started teaching all this kind of junk. I don't know why they got all that stuff. And I told my children, I said, anybody tells you are not free, walk out from that place. It's Satan. It's not the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit is, if the Son shall set you free, you are free. I said, stand with the word of God. The devil is out and pumping all these demonic things, frightening people, telling people lies. And if you take it in, agree with him, you become bound right away. And the moment you are bound, you cannot live that peculiar life. The peculiar life is a life of freedom. You cannot live it. Because a person who is not free is no more controlled by himself. He's controlled by something else. But if you say, no, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. It shall be to you that you are free. I'm free. Anybody free here? If you are free, shout hallelujah. I'm free. The Son of God has set me free. And I'm still free. Okay, let's hear the testimony. It says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit. Now, let's read the word given to us by the Spirit. Open your Bibles. Ephesians 1:7. This is the word given to us by the Holy Spirit. Open your Bible. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased. What did he purchase? I can't hear you. What did he purchase? Did you pay for it? He purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave us. He said, when we tell you these things, we tell you with the words given to us by the Holy Spirit. This is the word given by the Holy Spirit. He purchased your freedom, purchased my freedom by his blood. Now, you want another word? Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. For he has what? Man, I want you to talk with me. Come on. For he has what? Is it past tense or present tense? Some of us don't even know what past tense and present tense means. Is it past tense? If you tell her what I did, you're trouble. Is it past tense? Is it present tense? Is it something that has happened? Okay. Come up, my brother, come. You know I love you, so I can always use you the wire. Come up here. He has rescued us. Thank you for that. He has rescued us. Rescued us. Rescued, hold me. No, Oran, if you spoil my suit. Am I bound? And that means I need to be rescued. Then Chibuzo comes along. Representing the Lord Jesus. You are not walking like him. You are too fast. You walk JJ like this, you know. Yeah. Walk smooth. Yeah. Yeah. Then the deliverer comes, and what does he do? Pam. Now, has he rescued me? But you know, I can still say that thing that helped me, I'm still feeling it. It's feeling. It's not real. It's not true. Then he stays behind and said, you are not rescued. Why? I did not see him with my physical eyes. The gifts he gave me are spiritual truths, not revealed to the human eyes, because he's a spirit. God is a spirit. Those that worship him must be prepared to worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. You worship him by faith. The judge shall live. I did not see where he did this. So he gave me his testimony here to read. I said, I inspired this. So I want to tell you what I did, you did not see, but it is real. It's a substance. That's why I can believe it. Substance of things not seen. It's a substance. If it's not real, then it's not a substance. Do you get what I'm saying, church? Come on. Are you with me? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. Then he comes. I'm just, my brother is not, I'm just illustrating, please. He knows I love him, so. My brother is here. Then there's some other person that has another doctrine influenced by that spirit. He comes to me and said, do you know you are bound? I said, why am I bound? He said, look at yourself. But he told me, don't walk by sight. Don't walk by what? Because he will try to deceive you. Everything he tells you is a lie. Because he's the father of lies. He said, but believe my word. Having done all, stand. Only believe what I told you, you will see that freedom manifest. You will see the glory of God. Does anybody understand? So now it's me that decides to agree or don't agree and agree. And then once I agree with him, because I empowered him, I told him, yeah, what you're telling me is true. He said, so can we work together? I say, yeah. All I do is kill, destroy. He say, yeah, yeah, pam. Because all he does is to kill, steal. And since I agree with him, he won't waste time. Peter, come. But I'm studying my Bible one morning. I said, wait a minute. This song has set me free. What? So I'm free. What is he doing here? In Jesus' name, get out of here. Why? He gave me authority to deal with him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you. God bless. So he gave us the authority of heaven. Remember, the will of God on earth as well. Is it not about you? I'm talking now. It's about you now. It's about me. So he gave us authority of heaven. So that if that guy tries something, we say, get out of here. We resist him. We deny him. We don't allow him. And that will be my job. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And that authority he gave us is because we are also monarchs. We are also what? What is a monarch? A king. We are monarchs. Monarchs reign. Monarchs what? Reign. And monarchs reign with authority. We reign here on earth. Why? The kingdom of God is not subjugated to another kingdom. That's an anomaly. Because the same family, that family is not subjugated to another family. No, it's a dominant family. Because there is no other power aside God. There is no higher power than God. So since you belong to that kingdom, You too are peculiar in your area of authority. The authority you have is not a normal one because it's the same authority of the kingdom of God. And it's vested in the name of Jesus, not vested in fire. For there is no other name given among men, only the name of Jesus. If you invent that fire thing, you're on your own. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you what? Power or authority. So it delegated power. Delegated. It was given to us. It doesn't belong to us. If my brother gives me pain, it was given. His power belongs to God. Church, power belongs to God. The things about the move of the Spirit is not controlled by men. Nobody controls the Holy Spirit. He does it when he wants. The only thing you can control is what you believe and what you don't believe. And so you can live by faith and get the something. So power belongs to God. So he gave us authority. He gave us what? I didn't hear you. He gave us what? It's not authority. It's called authority. Ha! I will preach. I will teach English too. Abba. It's called authority. Yeah, yeah. Where's Sister Happiness? I'll see you after service, please. Yeah. This thing, I better speak like a Kurobi. People is better. Behold, I give you power. Somebody shout power. Behold, I give you power. What power? Is the authority of heaven. Because you are operating the family in heaven, same with this family, the will of God, same here, the authority, same. If you have something different, you can't live that peculiar life of it. So you give unto you power. What do you do with it? To trade. What is trading? March on. To trade upon serpents and who? Scorpions. And over some. Come on now, church. I mean, maybe my Bible is different. Over some. No, unless, especially when you eat okra soup in the dream. You just don't understand. And that's why I said, you're not a mature Christian until you talk. Because this will show if you really grown in the knowledge of Christ. It's what you say. It's what you say. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How many of it? All. Somebody shout, all. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, we tell you these things from the word given to us by the Holy Spirit. You read it from your Bible. The things that are freely given to you. Power to trade, to march on. Matching is significant of authority. Is under you or your feet. Is under your, you have exceedingly abundant big power authority over him. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. And then he assured us nothing. Nothing shall by any means what? For the first time in my life, I slapped a spirit. I've never done that before. But it's interesting. Because this spirit of death came to really touch me. And I knew what he was trying to do. That's the way they attack. They want to touch me and attack me. I knew it was spirit of death. So I rebuked it in Jesus' name. So it was getting stubborn, so I slapped it. And when I slapped it, the body like what was like body in the mortuary. That was the first time I slapped the spirit. I'm like, wow. So really, it's like a dead body. If you know how, if you ever touched a dead body from the mortuary, exactly like that. So I got angry. Pwah! I slapped it. I said, in Jesus' name, come on, get out of here. Yeah. You should get angry with the devil. You don't, there's no gentility with Satan. There's no gentility with Satan at all. In fact, the scripture says Jesus didn't even let him talk. Man, I woke up feeling good. That's a peculiar thing to do. No, the world don't do that because you have a peculiar authority. You have a peculiar power. It's the power of the kingdom. So you can live the same life in heaven here. In heaven, spirit of death and things do not touch them and control them. But the devil is a rebel. He's a criminal. So he will try to come back and to arrest you and to attack you. The Bible says, whom resist in your faith, and he will flee from you. He will run, terrorized. Praise the Lord. Church, come on, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. One time they came to me in a horde, many of them. I was rebuking them. Man, fun. Enjoy yourself living this Christian life. Don't stress yourself. I was rebuking them in Jesus' name, quoting scripture. My wife would say, wow, he was strong. Man, I had you. He asked her, he said, honey, I had you. He said, when I hear you doing things like that, I join in. He said, yeah, that's why I married you. So they were coming, a lot of them. So their boss, I think, whether their boss, I don't know. So he stopped them. He said, didn't you people hear what he was saying? So you people didn't hear what he said? He said, get out. That's what he told us. Everything. He said, we told us to get out. So all of them got out. Brethren, you have that peculiar authority. I can't say it better than this. He has given you power. The authority is such that what things soever you allow, is allowed for you. That's the extent of our authority. Peculiar people. We're not normal. Totally not normal. I'm telling you, we don't operate normal wavelength at all. We do things that are unusual because we're connected to. If you have that authority again, shout hallelujah for me. Hallelujah. You know, my wife's boss told her, I said, well, I'll fire you. Because she didn't know how to type. She just got this job. First time with computer from Nigeria and from Ekurabia. Multiply trouble. She never typed before. Then this is computer. And she got this job where she must use her. So she started. And that will tell you how far she can go. Then she will look. He told me something. He said, sometimes I start crying. And the boss said, you are slow. We'll fire you. Can't do this. And she, maturity is revealed by what you say. She told the boss, he said, you don't have the authority to fire me. Amen. God brought me here. Amen. I can't leave until he says I go. For when he opens a door, no man can, not even you can close it. That's maturity. Instead of fighting and quarreling, he said, it is written. And then the woman wrote reports. I think he told her to come and read and sign. She still don't have the authority. Long story short, all her co-workers were after her because she was, you know, my wife is a quiet. Let me apologize to her children. I don't want to nyaka come to her. I said, Dad, that was my mom. Man, you know, you can flip me over in 1 second. Longer, at a point, the same woman called her to the office and said, I have problems I need to share with you. He said, what is it? He said, I've been sick. Told her the story of her life, how she'd been through terrible marriages, and how she's having sickness and about to die. She never told anybody else. But she was observing something unusual. That this woman's life was peculiar. Even though she was doing that, but there was a spirit in her that all these people were railing on her, talking to her, but she never spoke back. It was unusual. Peculiar life. Completely unusual. She never replied, never got angry, smiled, greeted all the time. This is not normal. She must have something. Called her in the office. And my wife brought Gabby and said, drop all of it here. All that your trouble. Yeah? Drop them here. Drop this one here. Drop it here. Jesus will take care of it. And God healed her. She called her and said, you are now my spiritual mother. She was a Muslim. She came to our church twice with a daughter and was at the women's conference. The other supervisor joined. And when they moved her to another department, she took her along. This is the person that said, I'll fire you. Now took her along. You see, the peculiar life is not normal life, but it is powerful. It is what? That's what maturity is here. It's not all this. I pray. We gossip. Luke chapter 10, 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on. Oh, we have read it before. Okay. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. What is his name? Jesus. I can't hear you. What is his name?
Jesus.
Fire. Why do you people do stuff that's not biblical? Say, because I get result. Let me tell you, Babalawo is getting result. If you don't want to know, I'm telling you. Go to, if you want to see results, go to the Far East. That was why this man wrote this book, The Fourth Dimension. Because he said to God, he said, these heathens are performing miracles. I don't know what to say. God taught him about the fourth dimension. That they use demonic spiritual powers. I've said it, I keep saying it. Miracles do not authenticate the truth. Please. The auditor of the truth is in your hand. It's called the Bible. If I preach anything, tell you anything, and it's not from the Bible, please don't take it. You don't have to. And if I want to force you, that's called witchcraft. Every pastor must step away and allow people free will to make a decision. You can't impose things on people and use position to be a tyrant. A tyrant? Tyrant, right? You don't even know what a tyrant is. So he says, in my name. In what? Come on, church. In what? That's the name that has been exalted above. There is no other name God exalted. None. You create one. It's not God. I'm saying it on good authority of scripture. It's not God. The name of Jesus has worked for me since I became a Christian. I don't need another one. Has it not worked for you? Okay. All these signs shall follow them that believe in my name only. For there is no other name given among men whereby we shall be saved. No other name. Christians. In my name, they shall cast out devils. You know what casting out? Kicker. Why? The name of Jesus has been exalted above every name, and at the mention of that name, every knee. When people don't believe in Jesus, they don't know him, they create rituals. That's what happens. They create rituals and demons help them out. Once you create those rituals and false doctrines, because it's from Satan, he will come and walk with you and do all this gang, and do all these miracles. But 1 year, you don't follow those people 1 year down the lane or 2 years and see what happens. Because the devil doesn't give any free meal. His ministry is never to heal you, it's to kill, destroy, and steal. He hasn't changed it. Don't allow demonic spirits into your life. One brother went to Maryland. His problem was a lot, so he went to see a palm reader. So they read his future for him. He came back and was sleeping. They were walking around his house. He got up. He said, who? He said, we followed you from Maryland. We are here. And we are going nowhere. Because you've been a Christian harassing us. Now you came to our domain. This house has become our house. Great story. So we have been, look at Revelation 5:10. And has made us unto God kings and priests. We shall reign where? On earth. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. And who may say unto him, what? He made us kings, so our words should be words of power. Words of power. Now, I want to illustrate this, and I'm done. I don't know, did you get anything at all? Okay, let me illustrate this with the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself, that's the prodigal son, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. 22. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best what? Robe. You know what robe means? Best one in the house of a king. I want to show you the significance of what the Bible is teaching us. This is a picture. You know, this can represent so many things from scripture. But this is one scenario that we are like the prodigal son, that God made in his own image, but we follow the devil. And then we came back, and the first thing that was given to us is what? Robe. Robe of righteousness. But robe signifies royalty. You remember David was dancing and had the robe of royalty. And when that robe came off, her wife was incensed. Because that robe signified honor on whoever was wearing it. And that was the highest robe in the land. No other person will wear it except the king. Now, so the robe that was given us is the best robe. Is that God restored you to royalty. The boy, the first thing they did was to restore him to royalty and put a robe of royalty on him. Do you remember Tamar and Amnon? Tamar? Amnon was David's son, and Tamar was Solomon's sister. And then at that time, he could marry her. But she defied her, she raped her. Absalom, sorry. And sister of Absalom. So he raped her, and when he raped her, the boy hated her. Now, all of you young girls, I'm warning you. If they want you, if they get you, they will hate you. Because they've gotten what they want. If you call him, he said, I'm at work. He's not at work. I'm warning you now. Every man, men mostly, will go for anything free if they know it's free. It's a lure of Satan. I'm not kidding you. Do not think that sex signifies love. You are deceiving yourself. If you give him what he wants, once he's satisfied, he's out of the game. This boy, Amnon, loved this Tamar so much, but after raping her, he got what he wanted. He hated her. And then the woman said, he said, I'm now going to put off my special robe of a princess. I can't wear it anymore because my honor has been degraded. So in their time, robe signified position. Praise the Lord. Robe signified what? Position. So, to put a robe on this boy means he has been restored to royalty. So when you came to Christ, he put a robe on you. You've been restored to what? Royalty. That's why he said he had made us priests and kings unto himself. And the king rules by word or power. Because we are not normal. We are peculiar people. Are you following me now? Okay, what was the next thing they put on him? I'll soon finish. What was the next thing? They put a ring. Do you remember that in the time of Israel, ring represents authority? Because when they made Joseph a king, what did Pharaoh do? He removed his ring and put it on him. And from that moment, he assumed the authority of Pharaoh. So when you came back to Christ, God put a ring of authority on you. I've given you power. I've given you authority. And he gave you the authority of the king, the authority of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. You remember Esther? When Esther went before the king, what did the king about Mordecai and it? To signify that God has given Mordecai authority, the king had given Mordecai authority to do things, he took his ring and gave it to him. So you cannot decree things. You cannot decree things. So when God gave us the authority, we can decree a thing and they shall be established. How many of us understand what I'm saying? If you understand me, say amen. But the question is that you are not decreeing anything. You are allowing them to decree over your life. Anything they tell you, you open your mouth and say, God, do. God will help me out. What was the next thing they gave him? Shoe. Now listen to me. In old Israel, slaves were not wearing sandals. They removed their clothes. That's what they did to Jesus. When they brought him, they disrobed him as a sign of slavery. It's like reducing him to, yes. And the Bible says he was not just a servant, but less than a servant. They removed his robe. They derobed him. And in the story in the Bible, slaves don't wear shoes as a sign of respect to their master. So even today in the Middle East, shoes are a sign of respect and insult. If they show you the back of the sole of their shoe, it means you are worth nothing. Yeah? Am I right? And God says to Moses, take off your shoe as a sign of respect, because that was the culture then. As a sign of respect, because that was the culture then. Now, when this man came back, he had no shoes, signifying that he was a slave to sin, slave to the world, slave to everything. But the father said, put on him a sandal, which shows a place of respect. He's no more a slave. He's now a son. He has transited from the normal person in the street, the peculiar person in the kingdom. And that's you, and that's me. Can we bow our heads to pray?